Yo, girl, you listen to This Side Up on StealthyBox.com. This is Tiny Tina, and you are my main boo.
Welcome to episode 6. Is it 6? Of
Yep. Wait, is it? Yeah.
Yes. Good start. This setup, episode 6. I am your host and editor in chief, Joe Garcia, and I am joined by Krista.
Hi guys, what's up?
And not joined by Mr. Jack Shrout. He is sick. Because
supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
He's just scared because I just found out from Joe that he hates Jurassic Park, so I think he's just scared to experience the beatdown he's about to receive.
I can't understand how anybody can, in their right mind, dislike a movie like Jurassic Park.
That makes no sense to me, and I'm serious about the beatdown. It's gonna come. The next podcast, it's coming.
We're gonna
full blast.
He's passed out sick on his couch or wherever the hell he is right now. We're gonna go grab him. We're gonna hog tie him. And then we're just going to wail on him.
Yeah, and then we'll make him watch Jurassic Park.
And then we're going to make him listen to this part about how we're planning to do exactly that.
We're so evil.
I think that's as good a cue as any to just jump right into the news.
Yes, let's get right into it.
All
right,
so breaking news. Moments before we record this on Monday, May 5th, or May 6th, I should say, Disney has signed EA to an exclusive Star Wars publishing deal. Last month, Disney closed the LucasArts publishing arm of the company after they bought out Lucasfilm. But now they have a multi-year agreement with EA. The terms of the agreement have not been disclosed, but apparently they're going to have EA publish and develop core Star Wars titles, while Disney will retain the rights to develop mobile and social games. And the studios that they have on the burner to do all this, they're gonna have Visceral, DICE, and BioWare make these games.
Yeah.
No.
I'm a little iffy. Do you think it's like a bad idea to sign EA to it, or
I don't know. I mean,
with everything that's been happening lately, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, with BioWare, I mean, they at least have a lot of history with the Star Wars franchise. They did Knights of the Old Republic on Xbox and PC. However long ago that was, and they did The Old Republic, the MMO, on PC now. They're still going to be doing that.
Right.
DICE and Visceral have no experience with Star Wars whatsoever, but all these future games that are going to come out of this deal are going to be developed on DICE's Frostbite 3 engine.
Okay, that's something to look forward to.
I guess. I mean, it depends on the type of game, because as far as I can tell, all the games that they develop on Frostbite 2 that weren't Battlefield weren't super great.
They weren't very good.
Yeah,
then.
Like, they did a couple of Need for Speed titles on there, which was weird. Really weird decision, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. EA's in a weird spot. I think they just announced The Sims 4 today, too.
The Sims 4?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a big day for EA all around, but it's all very eyebrow-raising for most people.
It seems like they're already recovering from everything. It's just they're trying to take a bunch of steps forward to kind of erase everything.
Yeah, I guess they're just kind of like pushing all this big news. Like, hey, how about
I know,
just like Star Wars, right?
Let's leave the past in the past. How about some Star Wars?
Like, okay. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people are already excited for the possibility of, like, Knights of the Old Republic 3. Or,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe they'll publish a couple of the games that were canceled when Disney closed LucasArts. Like, people still want to see Star Wars 1313 or whatever it was. Although I'm not totally sure if that's actually going to happen.
Wouldn't they have to, like, pick up the project?
Like, I don't know who exactly. I think it was LucasArts themselves developing it, so they'd have to take that and adapt it and all that. I don't know.
A lot of work for EA.
Yeah, they're not big on doing a lot of unnecessary work.
Nope.
Or sometimes even necessary work.
They leave that stuff out. Last minute. That's last minute.
It's all optional for them. But yeah, I got to make a little funny image of Jar Jar Binks, and that was enough for me.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, right? Just like I know that Tiny Tina makes you happy.
Yeah.
From Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Last week on Thursday, a writer for Borderlands 2, Anthony Birch, he tweeted a picture of some guy just sleeping on the couch somewhere. But it turns out that in the background, there was a cardboard cutout for Tiny Tina's assault on Dragon Keep. And he deleted the tweet pretty much immediately, but we got a hot scoop over on StealthyBox.com. And yeah, we pretty much broke that story, I guess.
There's always, like, one person that will tweet something they're not supposed to, but they don't realize there are people out there that will grab it the second they see it. They don't realize that.
Yeah, like, we're the only site with a screen capture of the tweet. Like, everybody managed to get the picture that he tweeted, but they didn't capture the tweet itself. And I was like, ha.
Represent.
That. And that did Mondo traffic for us. And that was nice.
Yeah, that's always definitely very nice. And I'm sure that the DLC will sell, like, hotcakes.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody loves Tiny Tina.
Right, and at the end of the day, after, like, 10 hours of people passing the story around, Gearbox finally confirmed that the DLC would be coming on June 25th for $10 on PS3 or 800 Microsoft points. But if you're a season pass holder, of course, that's no additional cost to you.
Ooh, it's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I sold my a while ago, actually.
Uh-oh. So. You'll have to get a new one now, or just spend the money for the DLC.
Or I'll just go to my friend's house. Just hijack.
Well, that works,
for
yeah.
A while. I move over nerd.
If you want to do it that way. That's fine.
You know what else is fine?
What's fine?
The Legend of Zelda.
Heck yeah, that's fine.
This Link to the Past sequel that everybody is hot and bothered about. Well, not hot and bothered. That's probably not the right term for it.
No.
endeared with, I guess? People like Link to the Past are excited by the sequel that was announced for 3DS a few weeks ago. Speaking to CNET, the producer on the project, he confirmed that Light and Dark Worlds would be returning to the game as in the original Super Nintendo game. And yeah, that's good news, right?
It is good news. I think anything Zelda-related is good loot. Good news, as long as it's not a Wii U title, which, unfortunately, the remake of Wind Waker will be, and I don't want to talk about it. But everything else Zelda-related is always good news.
Now, we didn't talk when the story broke originally, when they had that Nintendo Direct. You weren't here. It was just me and Jack. What are your thoughts?
I missed it?
Yeah, you missed it, man.
Oh, my gosh.
What are your thoughts on this Legend of Zelda, this untitled sequel to Link to the Past? Like, do you like the art style, that it's not sprite-based? Do you like the weird
painting
mechanic?
I mean, I kind of have a bias, because I mean, I always loved Zelda, but I don't know. Like, every time I see the images, I'm kind of like, meh, you know, like, I don't know if I'm okay with it yet. I think I need to see more.
It feels kind of like when New Super Mario Brothers came out. Like, it was same 2D gameplay, but it was weird looking at the 3D character models.
Yeah, that's what it feels like for me. Maybe I'm just not used to seeing that, but just it hasn't grown on me. It's kind of weird, so I don't really know how I feel about it.
What about the painting mechanic or the drawing where he can attach himself to a wall like a picture and just kind of shuffle from one platform to another?
That I did not see, I don't think.
You haven't seen that at all?
No.
Yeah, in this same interview, the producer, Eiji Aonuma, he confirmed that this mechanic, he says that it came from Ocarina of Time, that part where you fight Phantom Ganon.
Right,
where he goes into and out of the pictures. Pretty much took that put that into the game as a full-blown mechanic, I guess.
Well, it sounds interesting. I'm wondering how it would play.
Yeah, like there'd be a big gap between two platforms in the dungeon or something. And with Link not being able to jump large gaps, he could just kind of attach himself to the wall, like in Paper Mario or something, as a picture, and just kind of walk across the gap and unattach himself onto the other platform.
Oh, that works. Too bad you can do that in real life. That would be nice. Like, I can't get by here. Oh, hold on. Just 1 second. Let me wall climb to the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So, that'll be out this holiday sometime for the 3DS.
That'll be exciting. I want them... I'm still waiting for them to announce, like, Majora's Mask on the 3DS.
I don't know. That's what people were expecting when they thought they might announce the Zelda game for the 3DS at that Nintendo Direct, but ended up being the Link to the Past sequel. Yeah. And I think people would rather have that.
I'm still patiently waiting. I just hope I don't get let down in the end.
For the Link to the Past or for Majora's Mask?
No, for Majora's Mask.
Why do you like Majora's Mask so much? It's such a divisive game for so many people.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't get to play a lot of it. The only one I played a lot of when I was younger was Ocarina of Time. But I don't. Something about Majora's Mask, I loved it. I mean, in Zelda, I love it.
Yeah, like Ocarina of Time was actually the first Zelda game that I beat, and that wasn't until I played it on the 3DS like 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I ever beat it on the N64 either, because the copy wasn't mine. So, yeah, we're in the same boat then.
Like, I played Twilight Princess for a little while, and I got, like, maybe a quarter of the way through it, like 10 hours or something, and then just kind of stopped. Probably because I was playing on the GameCube, and all the guides online were for the Wii version. But
so you were just lost.
No, I mean, it's the exact same game, but the thing is that, you know how Link is always left-handed, right? But on the Wii version, because most players are right-handed, they flip the game, but they literally just flip the game. Like, everything that's on the left side, on the north side, is now on the east side, just so that Link would be right-handed in this game, in the Wii version.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. So whenever I read a guide on, like, GameFAQs or something, they're like, go east. I'm like, there's nothing there. Oh, you meant... I have to go west.
West!
Because they literally just flipped the game. They just mirrored it. Fun fact.
Oh, jeez.
Weird.
Well, yeah, that is a weird fun fact.
It's a weird trade-off.
Well, I learned something new today.
It's a weird trade-off of that game. You have to either choose, you know, the nice widescreen, or the nice widescreen on the Wii, but with the motion controls that suck, or the nice regular controller on the GameCube, but it isn't in widescreen. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Sophie's Choice.
Decision.
Sophie's Choice of Legend of Zelda games. Let's move on.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to Sony.
Yeah, what's Sony up? Nice news. Let's see. Sony's electronic business was reported as unprofitable for a second consecutive year, according to a spokesperson for the company. And that spokesperson also confirmed that about 40 executives will be returning their bonuses this year, according to a report by Bloomberg. These bonuses are worth between 30 and 50% of these executives' pay.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
as a whole, Sony Corporation reported its first net profit in 5 years, helped in part by weak yen, the sale of various assets such as office properties. I think they sold, like, their New York building for, like, $1 billion or something. Stock holdings and all that. But most importantly, for people listening to this, PlayStation 4 and Vita development will be unaffected by any of this, as Bloomberg also reports that games, cameras, and mobile devices are central to Kazurai's plan to revive the consumer electronics business. Yay, finance. Who likes high finance?
Finance is no fun.
No, it is the most boring part of this otherwise exciting industry, I think. Are you big keeping up with the yen there, Krista? keeping track of how strong it is over these few weeks?
Keeping track of what?
The yen.
No.
Me neither. I think a million yen is equal to $7. Actually, I don't know.
Wait, yeah.
I have no idea. You're the Japan. What? You're the Japanophile.
I know, but I...
What's the conversion rate, Krista?
Japanophile? I have no idea.
What's the conversion rate? How much...
I can look it up.
Well, I could look it up. I was hoping you would know.
I know off the top. I should know. I'll admit that I should know, being a Japanese enthusiast, but I do not. I probably found out, but I'm not really good with remembering numbers, so... Plus, I'm not going there anytime soon, so I don't really need to know.
Have you ever been to Japan at all?
No.
Oh, just enthusiastic?
Yeah. I'm waiting.
What is it going to take for Krista to move to Japan?
A lot of money.
Would you move to Japan if you could?
Hell yeah.
What's...
Except I'd probably go broke because I literally, if I go to Japan... Like, for a vacation, I would want to go everywhere. There isn't a part of Japan I wouldn't want to see.
I saw a report, like, 4 months ago about, like, these really crappy, like, not even apartments. It'd be just, like, a room. This, like, slumlord, I guess. He kind of had this weird room. And instead of beds, it was just drawers. Like, he had, like, 5 people sleeping in one room. Drawers.
Well, I know, like, some hotels, I've seen pictures, like, they have the... I think it's kind of the same concept, like you pull it out and you sleep in it, well, and you can push it when you're all done.
Well, I mean, the shitty part was that this guy was charging as much rent for a drawer, basically, as a lot of other people would be paying for just a regular room in a normal-ass apartment, so I was like, man.
Yeah. Guys. Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of like certain cities in America, like there are definitely cities and places in Japan that aren't good for living, but there are definitely others that are a lot better. Maybe like Osaka or Kyoto or, you know, somewhere like that that isn't really too big and busy like Tokyo, but...
I'd move to Inaba just to see if it's like Persona 4 at all.
That is the only reason why.
And it's the only reason I know the town exists.
Like, I saw that. Oh, that's the same. Oh my god.
Like, wow, this place really does have endless meatballs.
You never know, it could. You have to go and see it for yourself.
Oh man, I love that game. I gotta play it again.
You should. Right after the podcast, just play Persona 4.
Speaking of sequels, I guess. Yeah, that's a segue, I guess. Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's About Time. That is the subtitle of the Plants vs. Zombies game that was announced earlier today, also, before we recorded this. It's been about 4 years since the original game released and was subsequently brought out on literally every platform ever. Like, I think you can play it on your microwave at this point.
Yeah, I know. It like, evolved to everything.
Like, I bought it on DS for my buddy's daughter. I was like, here you go, Plants vs. Zombies. Twice as much for DS as it would cost on PC.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was like $20. I was like, ugh.
That's dumb.
Yep. But I got it anyway because she's good. I was like, you deserve it, kid.
Oh, you're
You like Plants vs. Zombies at all?
Yeah. I can play it when I'm like bored or sometimes like when I need good laughs.
Yeah, it's definitely got an awesome sense of humor.
Yeah.
Crazy, what is it, Carl, I think? The guy who's got like the hatchback or whatever that sells you items.
Yeah, yeah.
He makes me laugh.
Although, as opposed to Plants vs. Zombies, I think I like Angry Birds better.
Really?
Why is that? Just because, I don't know, for some reason when I play it, I feel like a 5-year-old. Like, everything amuses me. And I love the noises they make. I crack up laughing every time I fling one of them off in the distance.
That's, like, my least favorite part. The like, oh, God. That's why you can't play it for more than, like, 2 minutes.
I can't take it seriously, but, you know, the noises are the only reason why I keep going. Yeah, just because it keeps me entertained.
That's why you can't play it for more than, like, 10 minutes, because those noises and the music, it's like, ugh.
Can't you turn them off?
But then what's the point? It's so weird. Like, I can't play muted games like that.
Yeah. Always actually, you have a point there.
Creeps me out for some reason.
Gives you hell. Because you have the sound off, that's why.
I guess. It's like, man, weirded out.
Oh,
you know what else is weird?
Injustice?
Well, not so much the game, but this DLC that was just confirmed.
The Lobo DLC?
No, no, that was...
you mean the more recent one.
The more recent one. Batgirl.
Yeah.
Batgirl has been confirmed, also because she was leaked a little while ago. She showed up on the Xbox Live Marketplace in the game somehow. But yeah, they confirmed Batgirl for Injustice, which is strange. I mean, it's cool because I like Batgirl a lot, but weird. Like, I don't know which Batgirl it is. There's like four different Batgirls.
Yeah, it's just like if they were to announce Robin or something, like, there's so many different Robin. I don't know how to phrase it. Why did I even say that?
I don't know.
So many Robins.
So many Robins. Yeah, I don't know. Do you care about Injustice at all?
I haven't played it. I mean, I watched before it was released. I watched all the tournament footage for it. But for me, like, fighting games get really, really, really boring. If I were to play them after the first two matches, I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I mean, I love Batman, but I mean, I'm not gonna buy this game and play it for 5 minutes.
You're not?
No. Sorry, Batman.
Let's see, do you care about Batgirl at all? Do you have a favorite Batgirl?
No. Batman all the way. That's it.
I wasn't asking whether you're choosing between Batgirl and Batman, but okay.
Batman all the time. I just don't know enough about Batgirl to, like, care.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's such a weird choice, because, I mean, Batgirl is usually seen as such a, like, a relatively gentle character.
Right.
So to see her in a game where, you know, Superman is murdering people, it's a weird choice, I think.
Yeah, it is kind of weird now that you bring that up. They wanted to add something new to the game, maybe.
I guess. I mean, like I said, I like Batgirl, so, you know. That's fine. Just weird. Weird choice. But that about wraps it up for news. What's coming out this week, Krista?
Well, this week we're a little short. There aren't too many games being released. The first one is for Xbox Live. It's called, is it Monaco?
Monaco.
Is that how you pronounce it? Monaco?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
What it is, it's this kind of, like, top-down, like, heist game. It's a co-op game where you can play up to four people, I think. It's actually, it was supposed to come out, like, a couple of weeks ago, but it got delayed at the last minute because they found a bug. But, yeah, it's coming out this Friday, the 10th, finally, for people who want it. People have been playing it on PC for a little while, for, like, a week and a half or two. People really, really like it. So,
okay, so then it's a good release.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I was going to buy it on XBLA or Steam. I don't know yet. We'll see. It'll probably be on sale.
Undecided? You just can't figure it out.
I don't know how to express my excitement. With
Well, not only do we have that being released, we also have a demo of the game Fuse being released for the PlayStation Network and also Xbox Live, but I don't want to talk about that because I can't play it.
It seems mostly pretty boring. I don't know. It's by Insomniac Games, that co-op shooter that they revealed as Overstrike like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've done coverage for it. It's not like they've been hiding the game. I just haven't really bothered to look at it.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be extremely into the game. I just, for whatever reason, when I saw one of the trailers for it, I just got very excited. I just really liked it, so I don't know.
There is a new trailer up on StealthyBox.com. Went up on Friday, I believe.
I'll have to check it out. after the podcast.
Me too, because I haven't looked at it.
We're slacking.
Yep.
This is Stealthy Box, and we're not even...
We're keeping it a little too low. On down.
I know, this is not good.
This is too low profile, even for Stealthy Box.
Definitely.
Yeah, holy cow, that was it.
I know.
Let's see, there is the regular feature, the Daily Five. We do a top five feature every single day, every weekday, Monday through Friday, on StealthyBox.com, where we pretty much just... We don't rank them, but we bring up five different games or characters or what have you in different categories. Today, right before we recorded this, I finished up the Daily Five Best Terrible Stories.
Best stories.
Just dumb stories that are fun because they're so dumb. let's go down the list because there's not a whole lot else to talk about. We'll actually mention the games, like unlike how we usually do it, where we tell people to go just read this thing. We'll do you a solid because we need to fill recording time.
All right, let's do it.
So Deadly Premonition was the first game. And this actually came out in 2010, but it just released last week on PlayStation 3 as an exclusive director's cut for $40. And boy, oh boy, this is the only game on the list that is bad. Like, all the other games on this list are good games that just happen to have bad stories or just dumb stories.
I'm tempted to try it now just because it's just so bad.
It's a train wreck of a game, but it's so weird at the same time. It's not like, you know, it's not like so many games that are bad because they try too hard or because, you know, they just couldn't get their shit together, like Aliens or The Walking Dead, the one that came out this year.
Right.
This is just a weird ass game. Like, it's ugly, it controls like crap, but the writing and the story are just so weird and fascinating in this B movie kind of way. And it's funny. It's like, I don't know how much of it is intended to be funny, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
So it's like they did it on purpose.
Yeah, it's like this kind of Twin Peaks type, like that's what everybody keeps bringing up. It's like Twin Peaks. It's like this kind of comedy horror game. It's so weird. I don't know. If you want...
That's a sign right there to play.
Yeah, like, it's definitely a memorable game. Like, it's a game that people should play just for the sake of experiencing it. Whether you like or to hate it, you won't think it's meh. You'll either love it to death or you hate it to pieces. Yeah, I mean, if you have an Xbox, it's, like, less than $20 or at least at $20.
That's not bad.
So you can probably get it for like $8 on Amazon or something, probably. And on PS3 just came out for $40, but it's got extra content and they upgraded some of the textures or something, but still looks pretty bad. So that charm hasn't gone away.
Poor Deadly Premonition.
No, people like it. People buy it. So it's fine. It's doing just fine. Not poor.
Probably buy it just to make fun of it.
Not poor Deadly Premonition at all. It's doing just fine.
No.
Let's see, what's next? Crackdown. You ever play Crackdown?
Yeah, Crackdown. I haven't played any of the games on this list.
Okay. So, do you know anything about Crackdown, though?
No, but from what I've read, you play as a mutant?
You're basically just a superhuman. The story is that you're, like, a cop. Or the cops in Pacific City can't deal with all the crime that's been happening in the city. So they call the agency, and you're an agent for the agency. That's what it's called. It's called the agency. It's not very creative. And yeah, you're basically just a super cop who can jump pretty high and shoot and drive like a maniac. But the cool thing about the game is that, you know, you can upgrade all these things just by doing them well and doing them a lot. So by like climbing buildings and finding these green orbs all around these nooks and crannies, you upgrade your jumping ability, so eventually, when you're all the way powered up, you can pretty much go all Superman and jump tall buildings in a single bound. And
that's kind of ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
But I guess if you're superhuman, it makes sense.
Yeah, like, and the more you shoot guns, like, the better you get, like, the more accurate you are, the more damage you do. And it's super great, but, like, the story itself is basically just, like, we need a reason for person to be able to do all this stuff. It's like, Like, I guess you're a cop. Okay.
That makes sense.
It's like, okay, I guess so.
So you guys, if you want to be superhuman, just be a cop.
Yeah, there you go.
All your problems are solved.
So, yeah, that's Crackdown story. Like, there's a twist in the middle of the game that is actually pretty decent that most people wouldn't see coming, but other than that, the story is just super dumb.
It's like a train wreck.
Not so much a train wreck, it's just, it's basically just a giant excuse for the gameplay to exist. And
that's pretty bad.
I swear. And you can probably get that for like a nickel too on Xbox. Because Crackdown 2 came out and it was literally the exact same game, just that the enemies were zombies this time.
Oh.
But it's like, this isn't different. This doesn't justify $60.
It's like, I played this before.
It's like that first, like, all it was like post-apocalyptic. Like, that first wheel is broken now. That's the only thing that's different. It used to move and now it doesn't. Like, so really, they downgraded the game for $60. But I think.
Stupid.
Vanquish is the next game on the list. Do you know anything about this game at all?
No.
By Platinum Games? You know anything about Platinum Games at all?
I think so,
they did Bayonetta. They did Metal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Metal Gear Rising. Yeah, so this was basically just what Gears of War would be if it was done by a Japanese developer. Crazy-ass third-person cover shooter. But instead of just, you know, running like a steroid machine, you're wearing a robot suit and you're gliding all over the place with jet-powered boots.
Oh, that's
fun. It's
fine.
Super fun. But the story behind it is so goddamn stupid. what it is that, like, in the near future, like, all of our natural resources are mostly depleted, and we have to go off-world to kind of, you know, mine energy or whatever. And the United States...
Yeah, that sounds kind of generic already.
Yeah, and the United States, they have a satellite, basically, to absorb the sun's rays and kind of send them back to Earth as energy for electricity and whatnot. But Russian ultranationalists, they take over the satellite and they aim it at San Francisco and they pretty much just destroy the city by aiming sunlight at it. It's in a super concentrated beam and just blow up the city. And you see a kid die and everything, you're like, whoa! And that's the story.
Jeez.
They're like, alright, now we need a guy in a suit to go make it right.
Crazy-ass robot.
Crazy robot suit. But, I mean, the robot suit is super fun and cool. And the weapon is super cool. It's like a gun that can scan other guns that you find and become exact replicas of the gun.
Oh, that is cool.
It's like, well, that's pretty cool. And it's super fun, but super dumb at the same time.
Now, the next one, Shadows of the Damned.
Yes.
I think I've heard of that one before.
Yeah, this was done by Grasshopper Manufacturer. They did No More Heroes, Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
What was the other game? Not 13. That cel-shaded game on like PS2 and GameCube. It was the first person shooter. Cougar 7, I think.
Cougar 7?
Yeah, I think that's it. But yeah, it was him, Suda51. And I think Shinji Mikami, the guy who did Resident Evil, the creator for that, they both joined up and made a game. And those Shadows of the Damned, and it was this crazy-ass game where you play as Garcia Hotspur. And he's a demon hunter whose girlfriend is abducted by a demon, and he goes to hell to chase him. And
of course he does.
Which is kind of ridiculous, but it isn't stupid or anything just yet, but... Then you have your sidekick slash weapon, and his name is Johnson. He's a talking skull gun. And with his name being Johnson, that just opens up all kinds of dick jokes for 6 to 8 hours.
Jeez.
Just dick jokes galore. The game is basically one giant dick joke.
That's horrible.
It's kind of funny, though.
The name of the gun, no words. I mean, skull gun, really? Obviously. There's a skull on the gun. Let's call it Skull Gun. That's brilliant.
Like, there's this part where I actually forgot to link it in the article. I'm going to do that. there's this part where you have to, like, shoot with the gun bunch of giant enemies, and you do it with this thing called the Big Boner. And he basically...
Are you serious?
Yeah. And Johnson basically just stretches out to be like 4 feet long, and you hold him by your crotch and you shoot. And it's funny. And it's dumb.
No way.
It's the dumbest thing. It's also funny.
Oh my goodness. Because... Let's talk about the other game. I don't want to hear it. This is just... Oh gosh.
Yeah, so Bulletstorm is actually another game with more dick jokes in it, but not nearly as many.
Bullets.
Yeah, so the game is basically, it's just a first-person shooter, but instead of, you know, just your typical run down this hallway, shoot 10 guys or whatever, you have the ability to slide around and kick people up into the air and shoot them and kill them in ridiculous ways with ridiculous weapons, or you can grab them with your, like, electric lasso whip thing and throw them into the air and do the same thing. And you're rewarded with points based on, you know, whether you get headshots or whether you shoot them with specific guns in specific spots.
Well, good times.
Yeah, it's actually super fun and super creative. It's one of the most ridiculous games in a while, and it's super fun. But the story is just basically, once again, just an excuse to be able to do all of this stuff in the first place. Like, you play a space pirate dude. And he got kicked out of the military for whatever reason, and he wants to go get revenge on his old commanding officer.
Of course.
And yeah, like, his commanding officer is some monster jerk guy who does bad things, and he wants to get revenge. And that's basically the story.
Oh, goodness.
And you spend like 8 hours just massacring people, like throwing them into like Venus flytraps, like enormous ones, or like you have this cool gun that shoots like a chain gun that is actual, that isn't like a machine gun, but it shoots actual literal chains that you can heat at to a ridiculous temperature and then throw them at people, and it cuts them in half, and it's super great and fun and awesome.
I mean, it sounds pretty fun, but it also just stupid.
Oh yeah, it's super stupid. Like, the dialogue is ridiculous as well. Like, there's this one part where the dude gets startled by someone else, and he's like, "Oh, you scared the dick off of me." It's like, what does that even mean?
Who says that?
Exactly. It's okay.
Who comes up with this stuff?
Like,
really?
Super crass and crude, like, but the gameplay.
I mean, it would be better if he just said, "You scared the bejesus out of me." I mean, it's funny. I mean, I know people don't say it, but really.
But
really?
Yeah, I mean, but the gameplay and, like, everything surrounding the ridiculous story makes it all worth it. And unfortunately, a sequel was canceled. It was like, ah, that's a shame.
Unfortunately. Bullet, more Bullet Storm. That's probably what they would have called it. Or another Bullet Storm.
Bullet Hurricane. Or Bullet... Bullet Bonanza.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like it too. It's got nice got the double B's working.
Bullet Bonanza.
Okay. Did you have any games that weren't on the list that you thought maybe you could add?
I don't. It's, for some reason, it's really hard to think of any. I know I played numerous games that should have been in this category, but I haven't been playing any recently, so I'm drawing a blank slate.
What about Parappa the Rapper, I think you said earlier?
Yeah, I did say that earlier. I mean, the game was fun way back when, but when you go back and play it now, like, as you grow up a little bit, and the story is just... I don't understand. Like, I understand the concept of the game, like, yeah, Parappa wants to be a rapper, but... Some of the things in that game, like, I guess one of the guys who likes that girl that's a flower, what's her name, Daisy? That makes sense. So, she kind of looks like she's really young, and this guy is probably, like, in his 20s, and he's hitting on this little, like,
gross
young flower lady, and...
Gross.
I don't understand the story in that game.
Man,
but it's mad fun to rap. and press all those buttons.
Let's see. Did you ever play Super Smash Brothers at all?
Yeah.
Did you play the one on the Wii, Brawl?
I did.
The Super Space Emissary or whatever it was called?
I think.
Like their weird excuse for a story.
I barely remember.
I do too, barely, but I remember it being weird and awkward. Like, Sonic is suddenly here. It's like, what?
Wait, where did Sonic go from?
Like, no one talks. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I know, that's just stupid.
Like, no one talks, it's just one fight after the other. It's like, eh, okay.
This is... That, because that's so related to real life.
And the weird thing is that it's separate from the regular arcade mode, so it's like, it doesn't make any more sense than the story in that. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez. I've been saying that too much. Like, I feel like this whole end of the podcast has just been an entire facepalm moment.
Oh, jeez,
facepalm.
Reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield when you say that.
What?
You don't know Rodney Dangerfield?
No.
A comedian from back in the day. He's been dead for like 10 years probably at this point. He gets no respect. No respect.
No respect.
Nope.
That's sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. He brought it upon himself.
Oh, okay. Then I take that back.
Well, I think that's it. Short show without Jack. I had another thing planned, but...
Jack.
Yeah, Jack ruined it by not being here.
Thanks, Jacko.
By the time he comes back, it'll be completely irrelevant. So, thanks for that, yeah. Jack. Thanks for that.
We'll move on next week. I mean, we got our plans.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have actual news to discuss.
And new releases.
New releases. Let's see what's next week. I don't know of any new releases coming next week off the top of my head, but it's got to be better than what came out this week.
Yeah, I have a feeling it will be better.
Let's see, do you have anything to plug?
I don't think so. I mean, my Twitter and stuff, but those are always linked in with the podcasts. So.
That is true.
That's like the only thing I use.
Let's see, you're at Cosmic Love with an X instead of a C at the end of...
Yes, that's me.
Let's see, you can find this show as well as other content. News, reviews, editorials on StealthyBox.com. We're at StealthyBoxes on Twitter. You can find us at Facebook.com/StealthyBox and YouTube.com/StealthyBoxTV. You can find me at Wands23. And you can find Jack, I guess, at The Cinema Jack. I'm not going to bother spelling it. You can figure it out.
Yeah, but he was absent, so if you guys don't feel like going to check out Twitter, then don't.
Yeah.
It'll be a punishment.
For being absent, he doesn't get the honor of a courtesy spelling of the name. Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's what happens when you get sick like a babby. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, we're so mean.
Well, that'll learn them.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to pack it in. We will talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, catch you next week, guys.